the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
The Sound Off Podcast. The podcast about broadcast with Matt Cundall. Starts now.
This week, a long overdue conversation with Shannon King from Virgin Radio in Montreal. She is one-third the morning show there alongside Vinnie Barucco, who we spoke to last summer, and Adam Greenberg. Shannon's story starts in Guelph, Ontario, and she joins me from Montreal, which is now 2 weeks into its second pandemic curfew.
Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
I'm excited that you're having me on. I was like, woo, I hope I'm special enough to get invited. I've listened to so many of your episodes with people that I admire and respect, so I appreciate you inviting me.
But I thought it was so silly that, you know, you do an episode with Vinny, which is what I did last year, and then, you know, you're such a big part of the show that, you know, you should probably invite the rest of the show on at some point. So I spaced it out about 8 months, and here you are. So thanks for doing it.
Pleasure. And yeah, we're all very different on Virgin Mornings. So we all have some different stories, and how we all got into radio, our stories are very different.
Only one time have I invited the show on. I'll do it once in a while where you bring both on. But you're right, everybody has a different career path, and you can't tell the story when two people were there because people get lost in the story.
Yeah, my story is weird. Like, I've listened to pretty much every episode that you have, and everyone's is different, but I definitely didn't get into radio because I grew up hugging my radio and be like, I want to be just like them. Definitely not my story. I mean, I listened to George and Tara on Chime FM when I was a hairstylist, but I did have a career change. I went from being a hairstylist to now being a radio host.
How does that happen?
It's an interesting story. When I was in high school, it was awful. I didn't enjoy it very much. I wasn't in any cliques. I was the weirdo who was playing hacky sack and playing guitar, but it wasn't cool at that point. So for me, I didn't form those memories or those friendships. And everybody was deciding, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And I just had no clue. Like, how am I supposed to figure this out? I still feel like a kid. And to me, the idea of going to college was like high school with dorm rooms. It just seemed like a nightmare. I didn't realize the full spectrum of people that you will meet in a college experience. So I thought, what career can I have right away that I don't have to go to college? I don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever kids are spending on school these days. And I thought, you know what? I'll be a hairstylist. At that time, I looked like Gwen Stefani. I was bleaching my hair blonde, going to a salon, and these young women were 20-something, making a pretty good wage, and they actually got paid to do these apprenticeships. And I thought, cool, you can get paid to learn how to be a hairstylist. So I did all that. I went to school, did the apprenticeships, paid all this money, not as much as you would with a university. And I loved it. I liked making people feel good. I'm not very good at it. And I started working at hair salons, and I found this recurring theme of drama. And it was really tough. I was only 18, 19, starting my first career as a hairstylist. And every salon I worked at, it just felt like I was among high schoolers still. There was nothing smarter to talk about than each other. So the joy that I found in hairstyling was the conversations that you have in the chair. When a client comes and sits in your chair, you have this unique opportunity, kind of like with radio, where for 15 minutes, maybe an hour, they sit in your chair and you're a therapist. They share things with you that they don't share with some of the people closest in their life. And you form this bond. Some hairstylists aren't very chatty or don't have that ability to bounce back and forth, but I found I was better at conversation and getting things out of people than I was at executing a haircut properly. In fact, I had one woman who wanted to sue me because I gave her sideburns when she asked for the Victoria Beckham haircut, and that was a nightmare. Thankfully, you can't sue for a bad haircut in Canada. But long story short, I just kept getting let go from all these hair salons, and I thought, what the hell's going on? I'm nice. I'm working hard. I'm doing a decent job trying to build up a clientele, but it was tough because you have to stay at one place long enough. And so I got out of it. I went and worked at the bottom of the barrel, like a first choice, where shampoos are optional kind of thing. You know, and I was like, I'm just going to save up a bunch of tips, give up on the fancy hair salon dream, try and figure out what to do with my life. Again, completely directionless. Like, should I be an air traffic controller? What can I do that's just going to give me money? sounds really awful, but that's where my head was at because I was terrified of that social experience in college. And it was actually my fiance, who I've been with for 14 years, who said, you know, you're very expressive when you speak, when you tell stories, you come home and share these incredible stories of clients and things they've shared with you. And you're really good at retelling these stories. Do you ever think about broadcast journalism? And a buddy of mine named Rafi Dergazarian, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name properly, went to Seneca at York University and was the valedictorian and just absolutely killed the broadcast journalism program there. All the teachers loved him. He went on to work for, I believe he's with Vice now. And I picked his brain. I said, you know, this is what I'm thinking. I don't want to be the next Oprah, but I like the idea of possibly being on camera. What do you think? He told me a bit about the program and why choosing like Seneca at York was a little bit better than, you know, a Ryerson University. You get a lot more hands-on experience. So at this point, I'm, I guess, 20, 21. So that's a mature student for going into college. So everyone there is just like, hey, I just want to be a sports broadcaster. I want to be Oprah. I just want to be famous. I didn't really know, but I went in there like a sponge. And I remember the first day they were like, okay, open up your Mac computers. Raise my hand. How do you do that? I didn't know how to do anything technical wise, but I utilized all of my teachers during my 2-year program at Seneca at York. Some of the teachers that I had were straight out of the industry, and I knew that if they were fans of me, they were going to do everything in their power to help me. So in my 2 years at Seneca at York, I hustled so hard. I just said, I need to do this. If I don't, I'm going to have to go back to cutting hair. You know, my parents were kind enough to help me out a little bit with the school funds, said, this is it, like, go and do something. And I actually ended up falling in love with it and did like 5 internships in the 2 years I was there. Students started to hate me for it. But I was like, hey, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to learn and soak this all up. So in the 2 years I was there, I did the newsroom at CTV News for a while, where you really have to say, hey, need my help? What can I do? You know, can I shadow you today? Otherwise, you could just read Harry Potter and no one cares. So I went in there, did that, super intimidating. Also worked with CBC Radio under Martina Fitzgerald, which was incredible. And that's important. She was a mentor. And when someone decides to take you under their wing, it's unbelievable when you're a student, when they see something in you. So she helped me a lot. So I was very much so in the news side of things, City TV as well. Also, all this is through school. Cisco Canada said, hey, you want to come and film a documentary for us and promotional project we're doing in Iqaluit, Nunavut. It was the best 2 years of my life, and I completely fell in love with whatever was to come. And one of my teachers had said to me, you know, just because you're studying broadcast journalism doesn't mean you have to be on TV. He's like, you know, I packed up my car in the 80s with a couple cassettes and demos and took a radio job, and now I'm on CTV, but your path doesn't have to start with television. And so I said, okay, and graduation's coming up. And I never went to my high school graduation ceremony with the caps and the friends. Never really had that moment. So I was really excited for college graduation because I was just a mature student who was like, hey, I made friends, but more so the way I saw them was colleagues. These are all people you could potentially work with, be a pro, and treat school like it's a job. So I had all these teachers rooting for me, hey, you're the valedictorian. But then I got finally my first response for a job from KISS 99.3 in Timmins. Said, is Art Paltz calling? He says, hey, just looked at your resume. Pretty impressive stuff. We chatted for a bit. He said, can you move up here in like 3 weeks? And I knew graduation was coming. And I said, ah, screw graduation. Yeah, I'll take it. Timmins, cool. Click. Hang up the phone. And then I went, wait a second. Where the hell is Timmins, Ontario? My dad's a pilot, so I'd heard that name. He flew there a few times. I'm thinking, ah, it's got to be pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. Minus 50. Not a whole lot to do up there. Have you been to Timmins?
I have not been to Timmins. Everything I know about Timmins comes from somebody who occupied your job about 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, Nat Lauzon, who hails from there, who started the radio station in Timmins and then found her way to the frequency you're at and the station you're at right now.
Yep, Nat Lauzon. Shout out to South Porcupine. So she also got her start with Art Paltz. It's a wonderful starter market. I was very stoked to go there. I was a morning show host / news reporter. And it was interesting because it was very much so like written out for the day. The show was written out word for word. You know, so I'd be like, ha ha, Cody, that's really funny. What should we talk about next? Like it was learning from the bottom up. Being on the air right away on the morning show in Northern Ontario's smallest market was exciting. So I said to myself, I'm not going to stay here for longer than a year. I'm going to get promoted in a year. And I just put that out there in the universe. And unfortunately, with radio, getting promoted sometimes means under someone else's crappy circumstances, whether they got fired or there's a death. And after a year in Timmins, I got a call one day from Mike Allard in Sudbury. And we, the radio family who I had met up at Sandals, where we would all go broadcast from the beach, all the Northern Ontario stations, North Bay, Timmins, Sudbury. I went up once, lost my luggage for the whole time. And Mike Allard said, you know, when you had no luggage for those 7 days I met you on that trip, a lot of people would have acted like divas, been upset. You know, you had one pair of underwear, you're washing them in the sink. You're wearing a shirt that says Grandma's Do It Better in Antigua. He said, your attitude was great. But the reason why he was calling was because Rich Griffin passed away in Sudbury suddenly. And I had the pleasure of meeting him and Gary when I was still in Timmins. And I can't say enough good things about that man. And when he passed away, Mike Allard thought about me coming to meet Gary and possibly, and I'm air quoting, fill the shoes of an impossible position. Because I knew how beloved he was as a person and as a broadcaster and how much of a heritage show him and Gary had at KISS 105.3 Sudbury. So I said, okay, let's meet. And Gary and I met, did a little mock hangout in the KISS Sudbury studios. And I guess when he walked out and walked past Mike Allard, he just gave him the double thumbs up and a wink. And Gary and I are very close to this day. That man has taught me so much as I spent 4 years in Sudbury. After a year in Timmins, 4 years in Sudbury for some of the best years of my broadcast career. And I haven't really been in it even that long. But Gary welcomed me with open arms and we started off as a three-person show. It was Jeremy, Gary, and myself. And the three-person vibe didn't really work. So then it was just Gary and I. And I'm telling you, it was hilarious because the age difference between us, we both brought very different things to the show. We both had very different styles, but we meshed like father and daughter. And as much as sometimes the radio like bosses are like, we have to make you guys sound less like father and daughter. Him and I were like, no, because that's exactly who we are. But he taught me a lot when I was in Sudbury, but it was also very intimidating when I first started because Rich had passed and he was going through losing his best friend. But I did get the pleasure of meeting Rich's wife, Nancy, his daughter. And I just respectfully tried to learn about the people in that building and come in gracefully and say thank you for welcoming me under these circumstances. And yeah, I was there for 4 years. And the journey gets crazier. I can keep going if you want. I feel bad. I'm rambling.
Well, I'm a little interested because there are some places that keep coming up in this podcast as being markets where just a boatload of talent filtered through. So if I were to wind it back about 10 years, there were various markets. So, I mean, Fort McMurray would come up a lot. Kelowna comes up a lot. But I'm finding now it's Kingston, Ontario, comes up an awful lot. And here we are again this week talking about Sudbury. And I need people to really explain because I've been to Sudbury for one night and I was driving to Winnipeg. I've not been to Timmins. So tell me a little bit about the Sudbury market and why so much great radio comes out of there. What is it that goes on the radio that creates superstar talent?
A lot more freedom, probably. But, Timmins was the smallest market in Northern Ontario. Sudbury jumps to the largest market in Northern Ontario. So you know you have more people listening. But I think the reason why it's such a big hub for people, not only is it a great place to live, it really is. It's more affordable than Timmins, but it's beautiful. The lakes and in the wintertime, despite it being freezing, it's absolutely gorgeous. But I think just more freedom, now that I'm in the second largest market in Canada, like you notice a little bit more of what you can and can't get away with. And when Gary chose to retire, I was on my own doing the whole morning show by myself for a good year. And it was kind of nice because I just fell into this groove and could really play and learn how to be more myself without being so in my head about everything I was saying, which I think we all as young broadcasters have for a few years. So just the freedom to play. Like I remember one time dropping a song, like we were a pop format on KISS 105.3 and I needed like a good toilet tune. I had to go to the washroom and I put on Benny and the Jets from Elton John. And if I did that here in Montreal, I'd be in a lot of trouble. But I remember my boss just calling me up. She's like, did you just play Benny and the Jets? And I was like, yeah, sorry. I just needed like a long enough song. She's like, it's all good. Don't worry. So just that, freedom. Sometimes I would like fade out the song because news had to be right on time, top of the hour. So I'd do that little like, no, I didn't fade the song halfway. just a little bit more freedom to play and get to know the board and buttons and the listeners. And yeah, freedom, I guess, was it. And Mike Allard was my PD in Sudbury, and he was outstanding. He was fantastic. And then when he left, it was a promotions woman named Michelle, who had never been a PD. So while she was incredibly supportive and fantastic and gave me air checks and everything, she kind of was like, well, you know what you're doing. You know, I haven't been a PD before. So I was like, sweet. Let's play. So I think that's why a lot of talent comes out, because you can really hone your craft. And then, you know, you're kind of in a hub where you're close to Southern Ontario, but you can also go further north. You can kind of pivot to where you want to go from what market.
Did you get any offers to leave Sudbury that you didn't take before Montreal?
Yeah, I did. I kind of became a morning show snob in the sense where I was like, well, I've always been in mornings. Let's see if I can just keep this mornings thing going. While I was with Rogers in Sudbury, my goal was network, network, network. And I love Rogers for the fact that whether it's sending audio to Paul Kay or Wendy Duff or even Julie Adam, head honcho, you could do that and they would respond to you. It didn't matter if you were in a small market or what. You felt like you were part of the Rogers family. And so I always was bugging them or applying for, hey, we have this position with YouTube Hits on Kiss in Toronto where you could do it virtually. I was trying to, you know, slide into the DMs of Jax in Toronto, be like, hey, how'd you get to where you are? Like, anything I could do? Like, how do I improve? And I just made myself to be a very annoying person who let everyone know this is what I want and anything I can do to get there, please let me know. You know, if you'd see them at Canadian Music Week, don't be shy. Walk up, remind them who you are. Don't let them forget. So yeah, there was a few job offers. Couldn't even tell you where they were. But for me, it was important to get closer to home, which is Guelph, Ontario, because my mom has multiple sclerosis. So for me, it was, I want the ability to hop in the car and go home. So it all started to get very crazy for me when I one day went on the air and said, hey, listen, a coworker of mine, her son, who I've never met, has just been diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. And it's going to cost him $100,000 every month for the treatments he needs. Every month. Who has that kind of money? Because it's a treatment not covered by OHIP. And she's, you know, said, we're going to do some bingo fundraisers and this and that. But I could see it on my coworker's face. Her name's Lise Diot. Just a mother feeling completely helpless. And I can't comprehend that. I don't have children. But I did comprehend that I had a unique position on the radio. And I said, this is crazy because I've always wanted long hair. I said, listen, if I can raise $500, this is how we'll do it. I'll shave my hair off. And like phones lit up. Everyone starts calling. Oh, how do I donate? A listener said, hey, I'm going to shave my hair off too. And I'm going to do my own fundraisers. Next thing you know, the whole community came together. And with their help, we managed to raise about $18,000 for Mario Diot, who did pass away earlier last year. We raised $19,000 for this young man. I still hadn't met him. And I was so excited to meet him. And we went to Canadian Music Week. And I saw one of the Dragon's Den guy there at the Canadian Music Week. The one with the blonde hair, like the surfer dude who would have the glasses and was all like, yeah, man, that guy. I forget what his name is, which sounds awful.
Michael Weckerly.
Oh, it's Michael Weckerly. Thank you. I was like, but I saw him there, had a couple glasses of vino in me and was like, I'm going to go introduce myself. With no intention other than just introduce myself. And he asked me why I love to do what I do. And I said, well, because I can help people. Like right now, I'm trying to fundraise for this guy so I can shave my hair off. He goes, nice. How much are you trying to raise? And I said, $500, $5,000. I don't know, whatever we can. And he goes, do you have a pen? And he wrote me a check for $5,000 or Mario a check. And so that was happening in the back of the Canadian Music Awards. And a lot of people kind of saw because I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like I got this check, $5,000 for Mario. I was so excited that that happened. And a lot of chatter started happening around that. Who's this girl that's shaving her hair off? And I had just gotten engaged and I had just turned 30 and I was just killing it on the morning show, feeling like I had found the vibe and Gary had left, which was tough, but listeners were starting to really resonate. I was applying to Toronto because that was the goal, Toronto, Toronto. And then it just started like phone calls on all these different markets. In fact, at one point, Virgin Edmonton had told me, hey, we really want you. We're going to fly you down. You're going to come check out the city and you're going to meet your potential co-hosts and the boss. And I went there and I thought, oh man, such great people. What a great move. But it's so far away. I don't want to move to Edmonton. And at that exact same time, Blair Bartram comes knocking from Montreal. And at this point, he didn't know that I was the head shave girl and the Dragonstein girl. He'd heard about this girl, but he just saw my demo or something and was like, I need to get you to come in and try out for this new morning show. And I said to Edmonton, hey, Uncle Montreal's calling. And if you guys are, Bell, if you're anything like Rogers, then I need you to allow me to have the time to also go to Montreal and meet my potential new co-hosts and make an informed decision. I've been with the same man almost 14 years now, and he has followed me from Toronto to Timmins to Sudbury. And not once did I ask him if it was okay. I just did it. I put myself first and I said, listen, I need to make an informed decision. So I went to Montreal and I met with Vinny and I met with Blair and I met with Adam. And it was like in the movies, you just know, you just know. And it's not to say anything didn't click in Edmonton, but it just lined up with closer to home. It's Montreal. Hello, bonjour. Like I felt like Emily in Paris. And it was just, my dreams were coming true. And I had called Mike Allard from Sudbury and I said, what do I do? They both want me. They're fighting over me. Like, what do I do? And, said, do what you want. But Shannon, Montreal is the second largest market in Canada. So you're going to be going from the smallest in Northern Ontario to the biggest in Northern Ontario to the second largest in Canada. He's like, that is like unheard of. And I just thought, holy cow, my dreams are coming true. And here I am.
So here you are. You wind up going to Montreal. You successfully avoid going to Edmonton. And by the way, that is not a knock on Edmonton, but I can tell you going into that particular radio station in Edmonton is where careers go to die.
Well, it's kind of not funny, actually. It's unfortunate you say that because the guy I was going to go work with, had I taken it, not long after the show collapsed. So it really happened for the right reasons for me.
Yeah, you can stop trying to put a pop radio station at 104.9 in Edmonton. It hasn't worked. Stop already.
Listen, it's just not as romantic as Montreal. When Blair took me out for dinner before making my decision, we were at this French restaurant, incredible and so cozy and great food. And this woman comes in with a basket of roses off the street. And it's a very common thing. Like she's just looking for couples. Would you like to buy a rose? So she approached Blair and I thinking we were a couple. I'm like, no. This is my potential future boss. I haven't met Nat Lauzon yet, but I have reached out and said, hey, South Porcupine girl, Timmins girl, we have to hang out. I feel like we have a connection.
So I actually left Montreal and went to work in that building in Edmonton. I just got to work at the Bear. It makes all the difference when you work for, you know, the right people in the right place. And it wasn't a heritage radio station yet. The station only launched 2 years, but it was certainly in development. And, you know, maybe I'll try it for a year or two. And I wound up staying 8. So where you go is so important. And here you are. I mean, when you talk about Blair Bartram calling you up and saying, let's do this in Montreal, I'm imagining him on his, like, on a white horse, dressed up as a knight, you know, to come do this. And I got to work with Blair for so many years. And if you listen to this podcast, you know, he and I just, we just click. We have so much fun together. So what was it like? Actually, I mean, Blair is now going to be working at CHFI, producing the new morning show at Rogers. What can they expect?
Oh my gosh. What can you expect with Blair? He's going to make you feel really bad about yourself because you're like, why don't I have this much energy? I'm the one who drinks coffee. Like he is a ball of energy and sunshine, and he's like an inner child that we all have inside of us. He's also brilliant, and his promo background means he is very creative, and he'll take any break that you do and be like, okay, what can we do to really spice it up? But at the same time, he really believes in like a tapas style radio. Don't give too much all in one bite-sized type information, but he's very handsy. Okay. So like, don't keep coffee near him on the table. He will knock it off. He talks with his hands, but he's just an idea generator with a great attitude. And honestly, he's really easy to talk to when you have to be serious and tone it down as well.
Yeah, I think if you're a listener of 98.1 CHFI in Toronto and you're going to listen in the mornings, you're just going to love whatever comes out of the radio because he's just one of the best program directors I've ever worked for. I've worked for, I can count them on one hand, and they're all, I can't pass out medals.
Yeah, he's fantastic. What I loved about Blair, too, was, you know, coming from two starter markets, starter-ish, I would say. I mean, Mike Allard was instrumental in teaching me the basics of, you know, hooking someone right off the top and getting a strong out and just all that. But Blair really just liked me for me and said, just be the person I hired. And it was kind of like, wait, what? Just be 100% authentic? Like, okay, yeah, that's why you liked me. Okay. It's very freeing when you have a PD like Blair because he wants your quirks to show.
we would have writing meetings, and I would, you know, if the writing meeting was done at 9:20, that's when he would kick in with, okay, what else? Because the meeting is going to go to 10, but it's the what else that's going to carry it.
He calls it the what else filter. So we always joke now, even now that he's gone, we're like, did you pick up a what else filter? It was on sale, actually. It was like $7.99. It's the what else filter. Yeah.
And then you show up in Montreal and you have no hair. I know that because I was there in the first like couple months that you were doing your show. I came down, I got to meet, you know, Vinny and Adam and you, and here you are, you're coming out of the gate. And what's the first 6 months of, you know, getting together and doing that show like?
Oh man. I mean, I think nerve wracking. Like, I'm a chatterbox regardless. Like, I get nervous even to do this, the Sound Off podcast. I'm just talking about myself, but I think it was a lot of learning each other's cues. There's three voices on the show. Initially, it was just Vinny and I, and Adam was kind of more of our social media guy, kind of snipes here and there at the end, but very soon after became the third official member of the show. So definitely learning each other's body language. We can know what the other one's feeling now without even talking, whether that's, oh, I think I may have upset one of them, or maybe I said something that they didn't like on that break, and the ability to just talk about it. Like, that's why I fell in love with Vinny as a coworker, because him and I are very similar. We don't like to have any unspoken tension. If there's anything on your mind, just bring it up. And we'll do it over breakfast. You don't need to do it during the show. And that doesn't even really happen. I have to say, we're really lucky. But being able to talk about like real life stuff outside of the show, things that aren't always easy, mental health, wives, husbands, fights we might have had with them, previous co-hosts we've worked with, and what we didn't like and what we did like. What are our boundaries? What's something that you can never say on the air that would upset you? You know, okay, don't put down my spouse. Okay, got it. You know, don't share this about me. So just learning about each other and coming into it with respect was huge. And honestly, just knowing that if we are solid in that room, the show is going to be amazing. And that's how it is, because we are solid. And I can't even fathom doing a show with people you don't enjoy. And it's so common. I've heard the stories of people saying, as soon as the mic's off, just we don't talk. We are genuinely friends. And I don't know how that happened, but it just did. And I knew he was the one to work with on that call. And then I met him and it was just like, let's wrap it up. You're my work hubby. Let's go.
In just a minute, more from Shannon as we get into mental health, working apart as a morning show for the second time through the pandemic, and adapting to Montreal culture. As we've discussed before on this program, Montreal, it's not for everyone, but it appears to be for Shannon. There's more about everything you heard here at soundoffpodcast.com.
Imaging and production for radio made easy from Megatrax Production Music. Add a sense of British flair to your productions with London's No Sheet Music. From the team behind Wise Buddha, No Sheet Music are musicians and music fans. It's as simple as that. Their albums range from contemporary to classical, orchestral to electronic, and they're always usable and sonically excellent. Don't miss the hottest sounds by adding Deep East music to your deal. Music from Deep East elevates a story and amplifies a message with a serious buzz. Always fresh and intuitive, and of course, the highest quality, they've always got their ears to the ground for the latest worldwide trends. Head on over to Megatrax.com or call us at 818-255-7100 for your music licensing requests. That's Megatrax.com.
Just before we start the show, I want to thank Matt Fogarty, one of our great supporters, who is the imaging voice for great radio stations like the new Mix 1029 Dallas-Fort Worth, WNCI Columbus, Ohio, and Easy 1029 Jacksonville, Florida. If you want to have Matt Fogarty be a part of your station, reach out to him at mattfogartyvo.com.
The Sound Off Podcast.
Tell me about the culture shock, though, for Guelph, Ontario girl to go into Montreal, into that market.
You know what? I found culturally Guelph and Montreal are similar. Like, Guelph is very like historic buildings, lots of markets, and very multicultural. It was more of a shock going from like a Sudbury to a Montreal. First and foremost, everyone thinks I talk like a hick. So that was the shock. Everyone being like, oh yeah, there, bud. Okay there, bud. Yeah, yeah. Like, they always make fun of the way I talk because clearly I have a different accent than Vinny and some of the Montrealers here.
where Vinny grew up, they've got their own accent out in that part of Montreal.
My name is Shannon, and he always goes, Sean. I'm like, yeah, are you in a bond? Where's your hand? Sean. So that was big. Also, you cannot turn right on a red light. Nobody signals here. And there's a lot of one-way streets. And I actually, for the first time today, was brave enough to drive. I've had my driver's license since I was 16. I've driven in like minus 50 snowstorms. But I was terrified to drive in Montreal the whole time I've been here. And I did it for the first time today. And guess what? I got a ticket within 2 minutes.
What for? Up a one-way street? What street?
Oh, God. Vigor? It might have been Vigor Est. I went off on the wrong. I don't know. It happened so fast. I was on the road for 2 minutes. I'm going to fight it and contest it, but still. I might go back to taking the metro, you know?
Well, I think that's one of the nice things about Montreal is that, you know, when I go there, I used to rent a car. I don't need to rent a car anymore. BMW, bus, metro, walk.
Now I know why I do that, because honestly, I'm like, wow, I'm cursed. Within 2 minutes, I've already been pulled over. And, you know, the officer pulls over, he starts speaking French, and I'm supposed to be fluent by now, but the pandemic kind of put a rut in that. So he says, and I said, désolé, je ne parle pas français, you know, and then he speaks to me in English. And I said, listen, it's my first time driving here in Montreal. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He showed no mercy. I was like, oh, maybe if I had the Virgin code on, because Vinny's got so much clout here in Montreal. I swear that guy gets a ticket every month and he's got his Virgin code on. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll give you a break. I'm not that cool.
Yeah, it's no fun driving in Montreal. I'm used to it. I grew up there. I'm okay with it, but...
No, I'm terrified. I'm going to go back to the metro. And that was another thing moving here. It's called the metro, right? It's not called pop. It's called soft drinks. I really wanted to immerse myself in every Montrealism that there was, and I didn't want to sound like an outsider. So it's the Dep, you know, it's stuff like that.
Yeah, it's got its own vernacular for sure. Did you leave your Toronto Maple Leafs jersey back in Guelph? How does that work out?
Never was a Maple Leafs fan. In fact, my fiance is so funny. When we first moved here, we're walking down the village on St. Catherine. And this is when they still had all the colorful balls hanging from the sky. And they took those down. So anyway, we're walking. He's got his Toronto Maple Leaf shirt on. But in very small font, it says, worst team ever. So as we're walking down St. Catherine, all these people are giving him dirty looks till they get closer. And then they're like, hey. But we're actually really huge like football, soccer fans, Arsenal. And one thing we love about being here in Montreal is the amount of footy fans here. So if I'm rocking my Arsenal gear, there's people from all over the world. So I'd be like, hey, Gooners. So just the love of the Habs is huge. I mean, I've always had a crush on Carey Price. And just soccer fans everywhere. It's great.
How did that happen? How did you become a soccer fan? Did you play?
Nope, fiance. It was forced upon me. 14 years ago, I woke up with a Arsenal hat and scarf wrapped around my neck. I'm like, what happened last night? No, it's my good luck scarf. I've literally just been introduced to it by the love of my life. And when he loves something, I'm like, okay, what's the deal with this? His family's from Ireland and his dad was an Arsenal fan. So he's gotten me into it. And I have to say, it's one of the most boring games to watch, but I know every player's name and I know how they're doing in the season, and just gives us something to talk about in a relationship, you know.
Does that mean your Saturday mornings are consumed with watching football?
Yep. It's also terrifying because you can't do any voice work or even an interview like right now, if the game's on, he's very loud. Loud clapping, like the poor neighbors upstairs. It's very intense. He gets way more into it than I do.
So tell me a little bit about your relationship with him, because you're the third female who's been on the show who has moved across the country and taken their husband with them. So what does he do that would allow for that flexibility? And I'm not saying it's strange, because I do think it's, I mean, this is the way it is, but we had Montana Getty, who actually doesn't have anybody, but just said, whoever I pair up with is going to have to come with me. Spoke with Jillian Foote recently, who said that, you know, her husband made the decision to leave Edmonton and go cross country and is loving Halifax. So how does the conversation work for you?
So when I met him, I was 18. He was 25. And this is when I was starting hair school. And he had gone to London, Ontario's Fanshawe for music industry arts at the age of 25. He did pretty well there, but when he finished, wasn't able to find a job. And this was around the time where I was like, hey, I'm going to go to Toronto for school. And he was just working like a virtual remote job somewhere in the States. He was able to work from home. So he would stay with me in Toronto while I was in school. And then it was like, hey, I'm going to go to Sudbury. And that job had ended for him. So he was like, okay, well, not finding any gigs here in Toronto. I guess I'll come with you to Sudbury and see what happens. Or Timmins, rather. And Timmins, I mean, there's no jobs unless you're a miner. So he was a cab driver for a while. And I would actually pack nail clippers in his lunch because he would drive out to Kirkland in the middle of the night. No radio signal, no cell phone signal, minus 50 in a blizzard, driving miners from the airport to God knows where. And I would be just terrified for his safety. Like I would be in bed because I'd have to wake up at 3 a.m. while he's out there driving. So I would pack his lunch for him at night. And I'd say, listen, I put some nail clippers in there. You know, if anyone tries to screw with you, you just kind of jab them with. He's like, what am I going to do with these? But he was doing anything he could to support us and try and get his foot in the door. So the cab thing. And ironically, as soon as I got promoted to Sudbury and was like, hey, time to go to Sudbury. He's like, I just got an incredible job as a social media marketing person here in Timmins. So I left him in Timmins. I said, all right, peace. No, I said, I love you, but I'm going to Sudbury. You're going to continue doing your job here in Timmins because you just got it. You deserve it. You need to, you know, see this out for a while. So we did long distance. We've done over 3 years of long distance. So I went to Sudbury. He lived in Timmins. It sucked so bad. And eventually he was able to remotely take that job to Sudbury. He's always been remote. He's very lucky in that way. He does like marketing and all that. But he is the reason why I'm in the position I am. He is the one who has taught me to be a pro because radio, it's wild, right? There's you see people cry in the halls or lose their shit or anything like that. He's the one I would do that to. Be a pro at work, be a pro at school, be a pro in everything you do. He is the yin to my yang. And I just can't say enough good things about him. Like it's almost like he's my ghost manager, you know? He's amazing.
Give me a peek inside the show. We did speak with Vinny before. He has a podcast that is, it's pretty good. But he does that as well after the show. I really want to know about you and Adam and Vinny and all the things that you do after the show, but especially you, because your Instagram is really active. You got the reels going, some TikTok. Tell me about how you divvy up your time between, okay, this is going to be the radio show and this is going to be the online portion.
Right. Oh, wow. So I never had a good balance of that when I was in Sudbury. I did it all and I burned myself out so fast doing everything, the filming, the editing, the commercials, posting audio to the website. Just, I loved it, but I burnt out fast. So balance here in Montreal is huge. And everyone having clearly defined roles is huge. Adam's the content creator, video-wise, with our video podcast and our audio podcast. So he's in charge of that. I take care of engagement posts on social media. So whatever the question of the day is, or some silly things happening behind the scenes, like, hey, Vinny, show us your outfit today, da 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 da. I take care of that more organic content. And then Vinny, of course, is the pilot behind the board. So he's doing all the, and we had to fight for that too. I remember wanting to be on the board and then realizing it's time to step back. This is his thing. And Vinny really kills it on the board. So after the show, with the pandemic, it's been really tough. Our plan of attack was to go visit businesses each week, clients. We wanted a list of clients and we were just going to do pop-ins and hand out swag and get to know our listeners. Because believe it or not, the entire time we've done our show, we've met maybe three because we have not been allowed to with the restrictions. So our goal was to head out to businesses and meet them, MC events together. Vinny also MCs weddings as well. And he was like, I want you to be my hype girl. I want you to be there with me as well. Adam is running a full-on clothing company that like Shaquille O'Neal is wearing and Rosie O'Donnell. So that for him, on top of being a father, is his full-time, like he doesn't have time for anything else. But Vinny and I, yeah, I mean, we just really wanted to get out there and meet listeners and go for coffee and go out for lunch. Be like, hey, we're Shannon and Vinny. And it's incredibly disheartening that we can't do that. So we're trying our best through social media to just be as real and honest about the things that are going on in our lives. We do our own thing, right? Like, so today I shared a story about a mental health struggle that I had, and you can check it out on my Instagram page, basically, but something really embarrassing to share. When I was on medication, I destroyed my legs with OCD-like tendencies caused by this medication I was on. Vinny, meanwhile, last week talks about having COVID as a family.
Wait a second. Did you say you have OCD?
I developed OCD-like tendencies when I took charge of my mental health 4 years ago and went on anxiety and depression medication. So I'm on this medication I've been waxing my legs because I was a hairstylist, so I know how to wax my legs, right? And I used a wax that was weird one time, and it riddled my legs with ingrown hairs. And the medication I was on, I became like obsessive compulsive about picking those hairs out. And I completely destroyed my legs to the point where it looked like people would joke when we were at Sandals being like, oh, what are you, a meth head? Or and I'd say, oh, it's bug bites. It was humiliating. And I have not shown my legs in 4 years since then. And it's called fossilitis. It's like, you're always going to have ingrown hairs now. You completely screwed up your legs. They're all scarred. So I share a lot of vulnerable things that I can't believe I share. Like even right now, the fact that I'm talking about it is wild.
I'm fascinated by this. Let me just back it up just a little bit because, I mean, if you see an ingrown hair, are you the type of person who just needs to get at it?
No, I was when I was on medication. One of the side effects of the medication is what caused that OCD. So the medication, yeah.
And what you were using to put on your legs, was that oil-based?
No, it was just like, you know how you use the stick and you spread the wax on and then you whoosh, rip it off?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, it's horrendous and we do it. And it was a different type of wax. I don't know. And I ripped it off. And the next day, all these little black dots appeared on my leg. And I was like, oh, they're ingrown hairs. So I'm using like a dull tweezer. And this medication makes you just kind of like hone in. It's like doing a puzzle. Next thing you know, you've been picking for 2 hours. So I was always very like open about my mental health struggles on the radio. But one of the best lessons I learned is don't share when you're bleeding. Share when the scar has formed. And I used to always share things when I was bleeding. If for a listener, that doesn't do anything for them. It's like, well, how'd you get through it? Right? Wait till you've gone through it and you've seen the other side and you can share some reflection on it and helpful tips for people. So that's why today I just shared my little secret of 4 years of, hey, this is why you haven't seen my legs in 4 years. You know, that's my style.
I love that because when you tell the story after you've been through the BS, you're actually telling the story as a witness to what happened. If you're in the midst of it, you're sort of speaking as somebody who is in crisis.
Yeah. And I used to think, oh, that's good. Listeners are like, let me help you. I feel so bad for you. No, that's not the way to do it. Whether you're trying to quit smoking or you're cutting back on drinking or you are taking steps for your mental health, give it some time. Wait till you're not bleeding anymore. And I don't even remember who said that to me. I thought it was the best piece of advice because I used to be that share everything. Maybe wait till you've gone through it and then you can be more helpful to your listener.
Oh, I'm totally stealing that.
Right? I know. Do it. It wasn't mine. We should share it with everybody.
And I completely cut you off a story, but just to get to that part, it was so good. I don't even remember exactly what we were talking about.
You were asking like what it's like in the show and outside of the show. But I think for me, it's just like, instead of being so in your head, like what creative TikTok can I make? How can I be funny? Because Vinny's TikTok is very like they're acting, right? Like, you know, here's my wife. Here's what she does. It upsets me. Like I'm just not, it's not my style. And for a while, I was so in my head during the beginning of the pandemic. I'm like, you know, we're all virtual now. Everyone's doing all this creative stuff on TikTok and Instagram. And I was like, where do I fit in? Especially when you don't feel creative to create stuff during a worldwide pandemic. You know, life was crap when 2020 first started. My cat was dying. I had all kinds of stuff going on. And it was just like, I don't want to create fake content, not saying his is. So I just, my source of creativity is like, hey, here's how I'm feeling today. Or like, hey, is anyone else going through this? I just try and be myself because that's what worked for me in the hair salon chair. Those clients were like, hey, she sucks at haircuts, but I like her. I want to come back. And so my hope is that people are going to be like, hey, she's not this unattainable radio star. I'm not. I'm just like every other girl. I'm the most basic radio host girl out there. Like, I'm not fancy. Like, when I moved here, everyone was like, what do you mean you drink instant coffee? I'm like, yeah, and I like McDonald's, and I have double doubles sometimes. Like, I just always felt like a very relatable chick. So I feel like I have to talk the talk and or walk the walk and not just talk the talk, you know?
Do you have any Montreal snobbery in you that you have picked up? Maybe it's a restaurant. Maybe it's buying wine at the grocery store. Maybe it's, is there something that you've picked up in there?
I like that. I like that. Montreal snobbery. Yeah, I would say I've definitely upped my food game. I think it was embarrassing what I was eating before. Like, honestly, it was gross. Like hot dogs and Kraft dinner, like step it up a little bit. You are in a city with the best food in the world. And even if you can't do takeout tonight, Like, come on, go buy some produce and a baguette like everybody else does and make yourself a damn nice dinner, you know? So I've definitely stepped it up with that.
And by the way, if you're not going to do that, you can also get the best hot dogs in the world because there's nothing better than steamies and toasties and whatever you get at the Bell Center and La Belle Province and the Green Spot and the Pool Room. And
yeah, and the fashion here, definitely snobbing it up with the fashion, because in Timmins, when I would wear my grandmother's 1940s hats, they'd be like, what in the world? It was like I was an alien. Here in Montreal, you can fully indulge your inner Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and wear whatever you want. And it is just fashion central. So I love snobbing it up with my outfit sometimes when I'm feeling the mood.
Have you done a 3-hour lunch and killed 2 bottles of wine?
Yes, of course. And a Sankasette. I've had a few of those before we weren't allowed to anymore. Blair, Matthew Wood, and myself, and Karen Steele as well, Blair's wife from Toronto, went out for multiple bottles of wine. It's hilarious. I also love that you can bring wine to the restaurant. I don't know if that's common in Ontario and other provinces, but I thought that was super cool here. Like, bring your own bottle.
Yeah, with Blair, he says it's a Sankasette, and then Matthew and I decided that it was really a Cisadeux.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with Blair. There's a chicken place that he absolutely loves going to after a night of, you know, some vino. Oh, man, Chalet Barbecue. Got to hit up the Chalet Barbecue if you're going to do any kind of indulging drinking-wise in Montreal.
Corner of Decarie and Sherbrooke, some of the best stocks. Oh.
Look at you. Look at you, yes.
I have all this marked down, right?
I think so. I'm sure you do. I'm the worst at directions. Blair driving me home one day is like, so, like, what street? Like, what street are you off of? I'm like, I'm by the bell tower. If you turn right by the, he's like, you are the worst at direct. It's a huge city. For me, it's like, it was like being in New York when I moved here. I was like, whoa, this is, it felt like Toronto, but obviously way different than Toronto. A slower pace was the big takeaway.
So you would get off the metro. You're at the Papineau metro station to go to work. But what's the metro station to get home?
To get home? Like, I live, yeah, Papineau. I live so close to work.
Oh, you don't take the metro to work?
No, I walk to work. And you know, it's funny, my walk to work has changed. When I was in Timmins and Sudbury, I used to have to dodge bears on the way to work. I would walk with bear spray. Well, actually, it was a mixture of hot sauce and mustard, but we won't tell anyone that. And now I just walk to work, because when I first moved here, I was like, well, I don't know if the metro runs at 3-4 in the morning. And I knew that Vinny and Adam didn't live in the area that I wanted to live, and I wasn't going to ask them to pick me up. So I thought, well, you're going to walk. And so I'm 5 minutes away in the village area. We love it. It's amazing. It's definitely, I think it's gentrification is the word. It's developing and it's becoming a little bit more of the it place to live. Ideally, the plateau is where you want to go, or Mile End, because I'm such a hippie at heart.
So this will dovetail a little bit with the mental health piece that we were talking about, but what's been the schedule for you between working at home as a team and who gets to go to the studio and who has to stay? How does all that work? And I know you're in phase 2 of this now because Quebec just absolutely loves their curfews.
I know. We're the only ones doing a curfew. There was a woman who walked her husband on a leash when they first imposed it because you were only allowed to walk your dog. So she put her husband on a leash. That was an epic time. But
well, you would need a note to get to work, right? Because you would be out.
I have one. Yeah, I have one. And I can't wait for them to pull me over so I can press record on my audio recorder for the show. I'm like, please pull me over. Hasn't happened yet. But Vinny's the one who's always in the studio. And this is because he has 2 very young daughters at home who scream in the morning. So him broadcasting from home is just not feasible. Although I can go on the board and actually did when he was off with COVID. So yeah, I'm at home. Adam's at home. We both have a brick and we turn the brick on and then we like see Vinny through Zoom. And to be honest, it's not hard for us because that's literally how we kind of formed as a show. We only had a few months when we first started and then it was like, bam, pandemic. And learning each other's visual cues on Zoom was amazing. We actually did like a, what do you call those groups that get together to do like quick comedy? It's like a training exercise.
Improv.
Thank you. 5 o'clock brain is hitting me. We had an improv class once here in Montreal, and it was virtually done. The 3 of us were in person, but she was on the computer. And she said, I have never met a team who is so good at picking up on each other's cues. Like, we all had to close our eyes and snap at the same time and finish each other's sentences. And we felt great to hear her say, like, you guys really have a good handle on when to shut up and when it's your turn to talk. So it works, the dynamic we have. But I do miss being in the studio. The energy level's different, right? Like, my cats are in here like meowing, and I feel like I have to whisper because my neighbor's upstairs and my spouse is just sleeping down the hall. I miss being in the studio. It's kind of like Groundhog Day being back here again, but we're trying to keep a positive attitude, and hopefully we'll be back together again soon.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it's hard to do, you know, reels or TikToks when you're sitting by yourself. It's a lot easier to do it with, you know, Adam and Vinny and, you know, or a program director like Blair, just, you know, about. Yeah, it's just, there's going to be more inspiration other than these four walls.
Exactly. Like, this morning, I'm like, so what should I film? Like, my cat's sleeping, and go, here's my co-hosts? And the answer is, yeah, anything and everything you can think to film. You know, whether it's, hey, look at, I'm wearing pajama pants. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, because we're all separate. And I'm just really happy that we're still fortunate enough to be together as a show. It's a dream. Those guys are the best. And I wouldn't, even if Toronto called me up, which is where I've always wanted to go because it's so close to home, I would say not right now. And not unless Vinny and Adam could come with me. And that's how I know I've got a really good thing. It's the people that make the experience. And even if the city was where I wanted to be, if you're not working with the right people, it's just not going to jive. And I hope I can stay here for a lot longer and start a family of my own one day. And I'm really excited for what the future has to bring.
Well, you're part of a special club. If you're thinking that way and you do go, let's say, 10, 15 years in there, you'll join a club of people like Kat Spencer and Nat Lauzon, who came from faraway places and came into Montreal and said, this is home. I'm the reverse. Montreal is home, and I've done two stints there, but on a couple occasions, I just had to leave because I just don't have the wherewithal to deal with some of the things that you deal with, like namely curfews, taxes.
Ah, the taxes. Oh, the taxes. I knew about those when I said no to Edmonton and yes to Quebec. I'm like, okay, but... But yeah, no, it's hopeful to have 10 to 15 years here. But the one thing I remember a boss telling me is everybody gets fired. It will happen. It's not if, it's when. Touch wood, it has not happened to me yet. But I want this on record. When it does happen, and it will, and my time will come. And when it's time to pass the torch to the next person who takes my place, I would like to actually take them out for lunch / dinner. And say, congratulations, and I hope you enjoy it. I warmed up the seat for you. Got a cool screensaver for you. Like, I literally want to be a pro to whoever is lucky enough to take my shoes next. And I think a huge piece of advice around that is you never know who will be your boss one day. You never know who you'll work with again one day. And the way you treat everybody, whether they're the one replacing you or not, is vital in this business. So yeah, when that happens, hopefully not anytime soon, I certainly will be welcoming that person with open arms. I think that's important.
Yeah, I'm just sad that we haven't been able to get together because you and I were both at Canadian Music Week, I think, in 2018 or 2019. And, you know, just talking about it and what goes on and all that, it feels like another foreign country. We're in 2022 now. And I, like you, feel very disconnected from our business. I like to think this podcast is a little bit of glue for everybody to... just to talk radio, but it's not the same. I'll tell you, it's not the same as Lobby Bar.
Oh, geez. It definitely is not. This is true. I miss the people. I miss talking. I miss seeing people. I miss hugging them. I definitely miss Canadian Music Week. I miss seeing people's mouths. When's the last time you saw somebody smile? You have to smize now with your eyes. Like, it's just, we just have to keep a positive attitude. And that's why radio is so important right now, because we don't realize how many people out there need that familiar voice every morning. And I think the big challenge is be authentic when you're on the air, because let's be real, you're not feeling like sunshine and Cheerios every day, but find a way to put a spin on that, right? Kind of goes back to the whole, don't talk about it when you're bleeding. But I don't know. It's an interesting time. I would really like for things to go back to normal. I would really like to go enjoy a Sanka set and go meet Nat Lauzon and go meet, you know, whoever, and make friends here and join a club. Like, what is there to do? So I'm trying my best, but I feel like I brought the pandemic. I moved to Montreal and everything shut down.
I've been to Montreal 3 times. And in that time, I would have normally gone down to the radio station to see you guys. We would have gone out for lunch. We would have done a whole bunch of stuff, but now every time I go to Montreal, it's like, just sit in your house and don't go anywhere.
I know. And that's why we have to connect on social media and Even just doing this podcast, it's really cool to be a part of it because there are some incredible personalities that you have interviewed that I'm huge fans of. Marianne, Lena recently listened to that as well. Like, just, it's really cool to now be a part of the show. So,
you know, this is the first time I've seen you with hair.
I know. Finally, it's growing. This was the length it was before I shaved it off. And you know what? I loved it shaved. I felt so badass. I felt like a Sinead O'Connor meets like G.I. Jane or whatever. It was great. Growing it out was not fun, though. Yeah, growing it out was not fun. If you ever want to trade, I see you've got a nice shiny scalp on you. We could trade because sometimes I'm tempted to shave it all off again.
So you mentioned that the bottom of the barrel was first choice haircutters.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, the haircuts I was doing were $50 a pop. And then you had people coming in who hadn't washed their hair in 6 months, just being like, oh, whatever, just make it look, you know, it was a different clientele.
So I've actually started to go to Tommy Guns for the bald head shave. That's $47.
Wow.
With a scalp massage. I'm like, this is the biggest deal of a lifetime. It's like I'm back on the haircut schedule. And I go in and they'll shave my head and make it shiny and good looking for $47.
That's a lot of money to get your hair shaved completely off. Like, couldn't you just shave it all yourself with a zero clipper? Put some lotion on it?
I could, but I get a nice scalp massage.
I had a guy sit in my chair once and he had a mullet, like a rat tail style mullet at First Choice. And he's like, I want you to make me look like this. And he shows me his driver's license. Now, of course, the driver's license just looks like a regular men's haircut. It's not showing the mullet in the back. So I go with the clippers, one little thing in the back. He goes, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, you said you wanted to look like the picture. He's like, yeah, I still got my mullet back there. And I said, sir, I'm going to get real with you here for a second. I don't see a wedding ring on your hand. When's the last time you went on a date? And he was like, excuse me? And I was like, I'm not trying to be rude here, but I think it's time to let it go. And especially now that there's a huge hole in your mullet, we got to take this down. Unless you want to skull it, it's got to go. So yeah. Oh man. That's another reason why I can think on my feet in radio, the amount of things that happen in the hair salon. Oh my goodness. Some interesting moments for sure.
I can't imagine how you got fired.
Don't want to know. I think honestly, no, I think I learned. It took me a lot to realize that happened for a reason. And whatever the higher power is, it was trying to tell me, you're supposed to do something else. This isn't personal. I'm trying to send you a message. And it's funny, actually, we were talking about psychics on the show today. Saw a psychic at this hair salon because the owner was into that kind of stuff. And the psychic said to me when I just started at the hair salon, just finished hair school, you're changing careers. You're not going to be in this career for much longer. And I was like, excuse me? Like, who is this gook, right? Like, of course I'm going to stay in hair forever. I just finished school. She was right. So it was meant to be. And who knows where I'll be in 10 years, but I'm sure as hell probably not going to shut up anytime soon.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this because you know what? You tell great stories.
Well, thank you. It feels really nice to go from being called a chatterbox on your report card to having people celebrate your voice and actually enjoy listening. So I know I'm a blabber, but I do appreciate you taking the time to have me on. And I can't wait to be on with Vinny and Adam.
The Sound Off podcast is written and hosted by Matt Kundle, produced by Evan Serminski, social media by Courtney Krebsbach. Another great creation from the Sound Off Media Company. Imaging courtesy Core Image Studios. There's always more at soundoffpodcast.com.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know, and he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.